Hello, I'm Andrew Finney, and welcome to the Nurse Researcher Podcast, a podcast aimed at all nurses or health professionals interested in a research career. This podcast that will run fortnightly will feature nurse researchers from all levels, so PhD candidates, PhD students, postdocs and professors, and occasionally we'll throw in the odd bonus episode. We hope you enjoy it and find it really valuable. Do listen to the end where Eleanor and I do summarise the interviews, and if you get the chance, do click follow where you listen to your podcasts and you'll never miss an episode, and do give us a rating. Hi everyone, just interrupting at the start of this episode to say that we had a few sound difficulties on this episode with Gwen's microphone. We're not professionals, we're not in professional recording studios, we don't have the professional mics and equipment, so we're making the best of interviewing people in their own settings. So, still listenable, still able to get the gist of Gwen's story, and it's a really interesting story for Professor Gwenwyn Jones. So, listen in, enjoy, and we'll try and work on improving the sound as we go through this series of interviews. Welcome to the Nurse Researcher Podcast, and this week I am delighted to be joined by Professor Gwenwyn Jones from Keele University. So welcome and thanks for joining us, Gwen.
Thank you for inviting me, Andrew.
I probably have to confess that we know each other. I don't know that you need confessions on this, but we work together. You are a Director of Research in our School of Nursing, and we've worked together since back in my early PhD days, and I think we've both been at Keele for about the same length of time, haven't we?
Probably coming up for 20 odd years now, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, so yeah, clearly we both started at about the age of 15.
Absolutely.
So with this podcast, Gwen, it's more about understanding the stories of nurse researchers, because I think we often know people by their papers, or we've seen them at conferences, and we know their work, or we've used it, we've quoted it, we've cited it, but we don't generally know the person behind the work, and we don't always know the kind of roles that they do. So we normally start off by asking how people got into their nursing role, and I know you've probably got a unique tale to tell about this. So how did you come to become a nurse?
I always think that's quite a good question, because there's probably not really any one straight answer. So I always did a lot of, I guess, caring roles, started with childminding. We lived on a very small estate and I was the only babysitter there. And from that, I moved into working with Riding for the Disabled as part of the Duke of Edinburgh scheme. And I thought, always thought I wanted to do something working with people, something in a sort of a caring profession. And I did look at all the other professions. I looked at physiotherapy. I seriously considered occupational therapy. But I just wanted something that was a bit broader, something that could really provide me with multiple different kind of career pathways dependent upon what condition I was interested in or what I wanted to do at any particular point in time. So I took a year out, and during that year out I spent time working or volunteering in our local hospital, Derriford Hospital in Plymouth. And I went every Saturday morning into the hospital, and I spent a lot of time talking with patients, being a volunteer for those that might not have visitors, so spending a bit of time with them, listening to their stories, understanding where they'd come from, how they ended up to be in that hospital bed, what they were there for, what was the reason they were in for. And a lot of the nurses there would let me sit with them while they provided patient care, while they changed dressings, for example, or I worked quite a lot in orthopaedics, so while they were updating traction and sort of changing parts of the traction that was going on as well. And I just really enjoyed it. And I think that was the point that I thought, well, actually, I could do that for a career. I could get into nursing. So I applied for nursing courses and was successful getting onto one. And the rest, as they say, is history. So it's really started from just being involved and engaged in caring roles, predominantly with children. Yeah. Also that volunteer visitor role as well in the hospital.
So it sounds a little bit like it was more of a vocation for you. And I think nursing is to a lot of people, isn't it? They want to be a nurse, and whatever it takes to get there, that's what they're going to do. But was there an opportunity to be a children's nurse with all that sort of caring experience that you'd got?
Are people expecting me to be a children's nurse or a teacher? That was what people expected me to do. So I guess for me, I enjoyed children when they were healthy. I just think emotionally I would have found it quite difficult for me to do children's nursing, paediatric nursing. Yeah. So I did choose adult nursing career path and went down that route. And I think partly I just enjoyed the stories. I'd learned so many things from the patients that I used to visit with in my volunteer times that I just wanted to learn a little bit more about people, where they'd come from, what their life experiences were as well. And I really enjoyed that getting to know people aspect of it as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure lots of people have got a similar tale to tell, but based on what you've said there, how you then sort of took on your nurse training and the direction your career went in was something perhaps people wouldn't expect from what you've just said. So do you want to tell us a story of you becoming a student nurse on to becoming a staff nurse and sort of what happened there?
Yes, I think I've probably always been quite academic. I've enjoyed learning things. I enjoy writing in particular. That's one thing I do enjoy a lot of. And I think as I went through my course, I did enjoy writing the essays. I really enjoyed writing my dissertation when I went on to do my degree as well. And that was probably my first foray into research. But I am probably in a very fortunate position that my mum was a medical librarian. And before I went off to do my nurse training, she sat me down and said, "I'm not having you bother those librarians." And she taught me how to do a systematic search. She taught me how to use the databases to identify literature. And she taught me how to critically appraise papers. So I think we can hold her responsible for where I've ended up, to be honest.
So, but when you think of that, you must have been ahead of the game somewhat when you were doing your nurse training.
Yes, I think so. And that was just luck, really, wasn't it, I think. But I did enjoy sitting in the library and flicking through journals and seeing what was new and what was happening and what was going on in research, and I enjoyed looking at that and thinking, well, is that something that I could do with my patients, or is that something that's actually not going to work here, and why would it not work here? So I've probably always had that questioning mind that we talk about a lot in research. I've always wanted to know why is that working, why is that not working, why are we doing it this way? I think I must have been a frustrating student when I kept asking questions on the wall. But why are we doing that? And many of my sort of supervisors through placements were really good at spelling it out for me and sitting me down and saying, well, we do it this way for these reasons, which was fantastic. But I always had that questioning mind, yeah. I think.
And it's the time to be inquisitive, isn't it? It's when you're a student nurse, I say to students now, you can never ask too many questions, really, because once you've qualified, you almost feel like you shouldn't be asking them because of an assumption that you know everything, and nobody knows everything, so that's the time to ask. So with you, what happened next? Because you qualified as a nurse, and then what?
So I did an advanced diploma in nursing, so I've got an advanced diploma in adult nursing, which isn't quite degree level, as you'll be aware, Andrew. So I actually went directly onto my degree. So I moved universities and I did my degree through evening courses. I used to work 6 till 9 with the evening courses, and I did modules and enjoyed those and stayed on to do my dissertation at the end. And alongside that, I worked either early shifts or twilight shifts quite often in the hospital in orthopaedics, which was my preferred ward to work on in those days. Probably still would be, actually, if I went back.
Yeah.
And so I did it alongside those sort of early years of nursing practice. And it was that dissertation, I think, that really sort of sold me on research. It was a small project. I did what I now know is a cross-sectional survey. I wouldn't have called it that at the time. What I now know is a cross-sectional survey exploring student nurses' stress and their coping mechanisms. We had a little local journal from, I think it was published through the university, so I published some of my work in there. I published some of the essays that I'd written as part of my modules that I'd done in the evening classes, and just really enjoyed that process of condensing something into paper length and making a strong argument one way or another, or pointing out where we don't have enough evidence. I really enjoyed that process.
Yeah, and Really, to that extent, when did your role feel like it was a research role that was no longer almost aligned to nursing? It was an academic role as a nurse rather than a sort of clinical nursing role.
I think that was when I went to the PhD, actually. So I went straight from... So I did 2 years getting my degree and then went straight into the PhD following that. And that was just probably luck more than judgment, I would say, in that decision. I'd applied for a role, permanent post in orthopaedic nursing. And then I saw this PhD advertised and it was focused around musculoskeletal pain. And I thought, well, I'm quite interested in that. That's what I deal with on the wards. So I just put in an application for that. And they contacted me before the ward role did. So as they asked me first, I ended up going down the PhD route. And that's where I kind of carried on and probably became more of an academic nurse than a practical nurse in that respect. So for about the first year of my PhD, I did try and continue with some agency work, bank work, on weekends and occasional evenings or nights. But on top of the full-time PhD, it just got a bit much to try and hold the two things at the same time.
Yeah, and it feels like your sliding doors moment there.
Yeah, I think it was. Exactly what it was. Had they contacted me for that orthopaedic job first, I probably would have done that.
Yes, I part of me thinks you'd still have found your way back into academia, Gwen, based on what you've just said.
I probably would, but it would have been a longer route, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing, though.
No, not at all. And I think the important message that I'm hearing from this interview, and I felt like this would be the case, is you're giving a message to perhaps some of the nurses that we, or student nurses, that we often overlook. There are a small number of nurses that get to the end of their nurse training and realise, like you, that the academic side they enjoyed perhaps more than the clinical side, or equally they liked it just as much as the clinical side, and they don't know what to do. I think they're fearful of thinking, can I stay on in academia? Do I need to go and get a job as a nurse on a ward or in the community? And actually, there are fast-track paths now, aren't there? We do talent spot. We do look for these people that actually can develop what would be now known as a clinical academic career.
Yeah. And that, showing my age here, but going back, that wasn't an option particularly for me. There weren't clear pathways. It was looked on as unusual for a nurse to be going and doing a PhD full stop. So I did have a few battles there. And at one point was told, well, nurses don't do PhDs, so there's no point looking, which was just entirely bad advice, I would suggest. Mm. But I do think now there are many, many more opportunities to combine the roles. And I think if that's something people want to do, I would wholeheartedly support that, because I think there's something that you bring from clinical practice, something that you bring in terms of understanding practice, understanding patients, knowing what's important in your particular field of research or your particular clinical field, that bringing the clinical and academic sides together really strengthens the research that we're doing.
Yeah.
So I work a lot with clinicians and I wouldn't have it any other way, because they're bringing the relevant questions, the pertinent questions that are likely to change practice for the better. And that's what we're aiming to do ultimately with research broadly.
Yeah, hear. I completely agree. It does beg a question of people like ourselves that miss that opportunity to be clinical academics. We had to step out of the clinical world to develop an academia. What our role is going forward, because you feel like you're either too expensive or you're too long out of practice to step back in. And are we nurse researchers now when there are, or are we nurse academics and there are now clinical academics? Is there going to be a great divide? Is it going to be more difficult if you're not a clinical academic going forward?
I don't think so, no. I think from my perspective, my role now is to make sure that people are aware of the opportunities, are aware that they can do either. And it might need some creative thinking. It's not going to be easy either way. It does need hard work and thinking about how you can combine roles, or whether you do want to step out entirely into an academic role. But I don't think there's a divide. I think they both bring benefits, and I think we just need to play to the strengths of both of those different roles when we're undertaking research, writing grants, all those sorts of things.
Absolutely. And I think to some extent, we haven't quite mastered how to develop those clinical academic roles in all nursing fields yet. There are some that are trailblazing a little bit, perhaps the more secondary care roles where we have the clinical academic, but in the community, in primary care, nurses are still finding it hard to know how to combine the two or how to even start to consider a clinical academic career. So we have a role, I think, at leadership roles in research now in helping to develop staff to write those roles, you know, to get the job descriptions in place to do those sorts of things.
Absolutely. And there is support out there in hospitals, in the community setting. There's support at a national level to try and develop these roles and to really support people to take the pathway that suits them and that will be of benefit to their health service or to their patients or their particular field of research and clinical experience. Absolutely.
Yeah, and with regards to you, I mean, you feel like somebody that perhaps was, like I said, ahead of the game with mum pushing you to understand that critical appraisal style approach and that way of considering research. Did you find your PhD a steep learning curve, and tell us a little bit about what your PhD was about?
So I didn't do a master's. I'll be perfectly honest up front about that. I'm a little put out because I do like to get the set, which probably tells you a lot about my personality. But it was a steep learning curve. So I did my PhD. The title was The Role of Trauma in the New Onset of Chronic Widespread Body Pain. And I undertook my PhD at the Arthritis Research Campaign Epidemiology Unit. It's now the Versus Arthritis Charity. That's based up at Manchester University. And I remember when I went for that interview for that PhD, I got to Manchester. I realised I didn't know what the word epidemiology meant. So I popped into the Blackwell's bookshop that was on the same road as the university, and I found a medical dictionary, looked it up, and went, oh yeah, I understand that. I get what epidemiology is. So went into my interview a little bit more prepared than perhaps I was when I arrived in the city. And I think that experience of undertaking the PhD was a steep learning curve because I had very, very limited experience in research. I'd done the one cross-sectional survey as part of my dissertation. And I think I would say they probably took a bit of a punt on me. I think I was quite enthusiastic in the interview. I was really keen to understand research, to get involved, to really do that particular project as well, that understanding, and to learn about the epidemiological methods and how those could be applied and what we could get out of that we could use then further down the line to support our patients.
Yeah. It does remind, and maybe it's a nursing thing of that time, it does remind me, I was fortunate enough to get a pre-doc award back in 2008 or 2009 and met with what would have been the supervisor for that pre-doc, who said to me, we wondered if you'd be interested in doing a Delphi study around a certain condition. And I said, absolutely. And they said, do you know what a Delphi study is? And I said, no idea, but I'm here with my enthusiasm. You know, and perhaps, you know, I don't think you could get away with just enthusiasm now. It's so competitive. But then I think putting your head above the parapet as a nurse, there wasn't many other nurses wanting to do that sort of thing. So I think it shows progress now that it's such a competitive field for nurses to be able to do well or to achieve applications, you know, benefits of applications through grants, bids, fellowships.
Absolutely, and I think I did go into it with, you know, a couple of publications in a local journal, so I guess I was demonstrating that interest, I was demonstrating potential, and I think that's really important at the early stage of your career is if you can write something up to publish it, do. It doesn't matter if it's in a high-impact journal, that makes no difference at that stage in your career really, it's about demonstrating that you've got that potential and you've got that interest in research that you're going to take that forward, and I think that's really important. Certainly early in your career, but also throughout your career as well, is getting that, demonstrating that evidence that you're really keen to do it and you're really engaged.
I think you were like me in the fact that you published from your bachelor's degree, your first degree. I mean, I published mine in the Nursing Times and I've never been prouder than that first paper. And I think it does speak volumes that at every level that you've worked at, you've been able to get some output and demonstrate some impact of the work that you've done. So I would always push that with people now doing their first degrees, their master's degrees, projects that are funded, try to get them published, because it demonstrates, you know, the work that you've been able to do and that you've been able to write based around that small research project.
Absolutely, and I think if you've done that work, thinking through a project or thinking through a particular topic, looking at the literature, and you might not have done a full systematic review, but if you've done an appraisal and a literature search, I think getting that out there is really important to share that knowledge with other people as well. And I think if you've done that, it's really helpful to share that, really, really helpful for other people, because they can pick that up and say, well, actually, I can apply that to my setting, my clinical setting. Or they can look at it and go, actually, that's not going to work in my area. But having that knowledge available means we can build on that and we can grow other projects, other research from those kind of small initial undergraduate or post-registration courses.
Yeah, absolutely. So from your perspective, what would you say are your research career highlights?
Oh, that's always a tricky one. I think getting the PhD was probably a bit of a highlight. That was particularly as I'd been told nurses don't do PhDs, and then to graduate with a PhD, oh well, actually they do, don't they? So that was clearly a winner for me. I was fortunate to get a NIHR postdoc research fellowship, so I think that was a particular highlight. It was a very competitive process. It was a long process writing that application, but I had such a great team around me with a lot of experience to support me in writing that and putting that application together, and I think that was sort of the first point I went, oh, actually, I probably can do this research as a career. I could probably stay in this field. So that was a bit of a highlight. Obviously, being made professor a couple of years ago now was a highlight. And recently, I've taken on a new role as the chief nurse research lead for the West Midlands. So that role particularly means that I can do more of what we've been talking about today, Andrew, trying to inspire others, trying to influence the agenda across our trusts so that we get more engagement in nurses, midwives, and also our allied health professions in our research activity at a whole range of different levels, from using research in practice right through to leading research projects as well themselves. So that's a really exciting new challenge that I've just taken on.
Yeah. So, I mean, you are Professor Gwenwyn Jones. This is our professor series. So how did that come about, and what are your roles now day to day, and how do you combine them when you say you've got that role across the West Midlands and a role as a professor of nursing at Keele University and you're an epidemiologist? How do you combine these roles? How did you come to be professor, and did that bring them together to some extent?
Three hats, I guess, that I wear. So I do a day a week in the School of Nursing and Midwifery at Keele as the School Research Director. So my role there is around creating the strategy for research within the school and implementing that strategy, so supporting staff to meet those objectives that we've got and to grow research within the school, to provide people with confidence to undertake research and support them when they're doing it. So that's, I've been doing that since 2019-ish, so I've been doing that sort of a few years now. But I also do 2 days a week as Professor of Nursing in the School of Medicine. And that's where I really do my own research that I've built my career on, which is around occupational health and how we support people with various health conditions to remain in work and to manage their work whilst they're experiencing health conditions. So that's where I've really done the epidemiology, I guess, right from data set research, so looking at medical records, qualitative research, systematic reviews, meta-analyses, cohort studies, trials. I've done the whole kind of lot across occupational health and really working out how we can best support people. And then the other 2 days a week, I do my clinical research network role. So essentially doing a similar role to what I do in the School of Nursing and Midwifery, but on a much broader scale and in engaging a lot more with our clinical partners to achieve that as well. So it is a bit of a mix. I never know what I'm going to be doing from one day to the next, Andrew. I open my diary and it's a lovely surprise in the morning what's happening that day. But I think it does bring the best of both worlds. It brings that ability to hopefully lead and try and inspire other people to get engaged in research. But I also get to do hands-on research myself and really stop and think about research questions, think about how can we deliver that research question and writing up the papers afterwards and looking at impact and implementation. So how can we get things into practice?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a mixed day, I think.
Is it lovely to open your diary and see that Andrew Finney wants to do an interview with you for a podcast? Is that...
I'd forgotten about that. And I thought it was half an hour later. So that was a surprise today.
Well, you've done well then, Gwen. We're happy with that. So with your career, I mean, it's... there's so much going on and there's so much, you know, to achieve and there's so much you've already achieved that it feels like a great career, that your career has been enhanced by research and by the roles that you've got. But if you had your time again to go back to that person just about to qualify as a nurse, would you do anything different?
No, I don't think I would actually. I would like to have done more clinical work, if I'm perfectly honest, but I think actually the path that I've taken suits me. It suits my interests, it suits my abilities. So no, I don't think I would have changed a lot. I've never been much of a forward planner in that respect, so I took opportunities as they arose, and that's fortunately worked out quite well for me. But yeah, the one thing that I would do is perhaps try and increase a little bit on that clinical time if I could have.
Yeah. Yeah, and you are somebody that I know always encourages others to do that now.
Yeah, I think if you've got that passion and that drive to stay with one foot in the clinical camp, I think absolutely do that, and I will support people to do that as much as we possibly can. Because like I say, it does bring strong research questions from practice that mean we are likely to make benefits to patients, benefits to our colleagues in the health service. And sort of brings that different perspective into research that we really do need.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, I suppose my question to everybody on this podcast needs to be, what sort of advice would you offer nurses now that have got an interest or want to have an interest to develop research in their careers? What advice would you offer to people coming through?
I think if you're interested in research, keep that questioning mind. Keep looking at things and thinking, why are we doing this? You know, will that, I've read this paper, will that work in my area of practice? Be critical, be thoughtful about what you're reading in journals, be thoughtful about what you're doing on the wards and why you're doing it. I think that's really important to maintain. I would also talk to tutors about publishing some of your work. A lot of the tutors, certainly at Keele where I work, are perfectly able to support you to publish some of your undergraduate work, be that your dissertation, or be that work that you might have done on postgraduate modules as well. So do think about that. Think about getting that knowledge out there. And if that's the only thing you publish in your career, that's absolutely fine. You've got something out. Maybe it's not for you, but if that could be the start of something, could be the start of your research career and will put you in good stead when you're looking to apply for funding for research projects, when you're looking to apply for funding for personal fellowships, for example. Having those early publications will really support your application there as well.
Yeah, spot on. Gwen, that's been great. It's been, I mean, we do work together, but in situations like this, you still find out new things about people. So it's been really valuable to me as well. But all I wanted to say is thank you for your time, really, for the podcast, because these are the kind of things that people do want to hear about. And I'm hoping that these sorts of episodes will help people that want to strive for a research career and want to understand how other people went about it. So thanks for your time, Gwen.
Absolutely. You're welcome, Andrew. And I think we've all come at it from a different direction, haven't we? And I think there's not one route into nursing research. So you have to pick the route that works for you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gwen.
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, welcome back to the Nurse Researcher podcast. And here we are again, Eleanor and myself, to just briefly discuss the interview with Professor Gwenwyn Jones. So I know Gwen, Eleanor, so I'll probably get you to start us off as what you felt about the interview and some of the things that Gwen had to say.
Yeah, great. So this was really fascinating hearing about Gwen's story and having entered academia at an early stage in her career. And I thought she did seem quite clear about what her interests were and followed that desire, really. And I think you do need that desire if you're going to carve a path in academia or a clinical academia. And then she also spoke about how she managed to fit in work while studying, which is one of the benefits, I think, of nursing, that there are flexible options to do this, though it's, you know, it is hard work. But you know what I'm finding really interesting, though, is this is three interviews in, and I've already heard some common themes of tales of nurses don't do PhDs and luck or serendipity played a role. And I've said that last one myself, and I think we need to do some research around this. But so the first point, I think, is this historical narrative that nurses don't do PhDs. And I wonder, as you interview more individuals at different stages of their career, how is that narrative going to change, and how is it changing? I do think it is changing, but I wonder if there's still a way to go with organizations valuing the skills of nurses having a PhD, particularly maybe in clinical settings, where maybe they aren't so used to having nurses having PhDs. And do they see what those values are? And then there's this important role of luck, which seems to emerge spontaneously. And I wonder, though, if it does emerge, or if is it that, you know, individuals have this mindset that's kind of prepared for luck? I thought Gwen seemed very clear about, you know, following her interests. And so maybe it's having that flexible mindset. But then, you know, when opportunities do come about, like you spoke about the sliding doors moment, she seemed prepared, you know, for either, but went with the one that perhaps fed her desire more.
I mean, I'm fortunate to know Gwen, and I work with Gwen quite closely with research. So I know just what a good researcher she is, and the fact that she felt that at the start of her career surprised me, because she's been a little bit younger than the previous two people we've had on the episode. So the fact that that message was still getting out there, and I was fortunate enough to be at Gwen's inaugural lecture just a few weeks ago, and the title of that inaugural lecture really was "Nurses Don't Do PhDs."
Oh, was
and,
it? Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
And the final slide was "Nurses do PhDs," and she told her story and the people she'd supported and the people she'd worked with, and just how, you know, outstanding nurse research can be. And her, you know, her work has, oh, she's probably got an income. Well, she's got an income of several millions of pounds as a senior investigator and principal investigator. So it was good, because a lot of the people in that inaugural crowd, if you like, were consultants and medics and people that I just thought, this is really good that they're hearing the story of, look what a nurse researcher can do. And part of it for me is, when I knew of Gwen, we were in the same building when I did my PhD, and we didn't know each other very well until a certain stage of the PhD, where she helped me actually with some of her statistics. But I didn't know she was a nurse. And I do wonder whether she kept, and I think she did, she sort of kept that a card close to her chest, because she didn't want any doors closing because she was a nurse. So I thought Gwen was an epidemiologist, which is what she is, but she's a nurse. And that, but I think she felt, work because we both had to do our PhDs in medical school, that she kept her card quite close to her chest, that, you know, well, she wanted to be known for epidemiology and get respect for that. And she's now been able to move into the School of Nursing with us, and she's the director of research now, and has really changed the movement for research in our school, really. I'd like to say with my support, essentially, she's come in as a director of research now, and is really empowering people, you know, to push that message that nurses do PhDs, nurses do research, and they do it well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. She's had a phenomenal career so far, hasn't she? And managing to juggle different roles still at the moment, isn't she? Which she commented on as, you know, not knowing what each day was going to bring. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Whether more nurses that are becoming academics or clinical academics, how they feel about, you know, seeing themselves in that role, but also as a nurse. And I think this maybe is where the narrative is changing, but there's something there about respect, I think, isn't there? And this narrative that's obviously been around for such a long time, that nurses don't do PhDs. You know, which is quite shocking, really, isn't it? But those nurses that are doing PhDs and have done PhDs, look at these individuals that you're interviewing. You know, these are exceptional people that are, you know, experts in their own right. So it's fascinating. I wish I could have listened to her inaugural lecture as well, actually.
Well, it is on YouTube. I could share that with
you.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, and perhaps I can make sure the link to that is in this episode. So do have a look in the episode notes.
I will.
Because we do put some papers. We do put some papers of the people we interviewed, and I can actually put the YouTube link to Gwen's inaugural lecture if anybody wanted to listen to it in full.
Fantastic.
It's really, really good. But
yeah.
I had him. I mean, give the game away. We've got a future episode with Professor Julie Green, who's a professor of district nursing, and we were chatting about that serendipity of it yesterday, because in me interviewing her, it came up again, you know, that thought that nursing
really?
Wouldn't do a PhD, and, you know, having to break the boundaries a little bit and fight her own corner to get where she needed to get. But we talked a little bit about, so I think medics have that bit more confidence. There's, you know, these are the brightest kids at school. They're the brightest kids in their class. They're the brightest kids doing their A-levels, and they're told they're going to do well. And they, you know, and they believe that they're going to do well. I mean, I've seen people come out of medical training and go and get like a research grant. And you think, but they haven't even got a PhD, but they just feel that they can lead a research study. And often that's supported by getting the grants. That's not wrong, is it? That's not wrong that medics have that confidence. What we have to do is we have to push up the nursing confidence to be the same way. You know, we have to believe that we are, that we're always proud that we're a nurse, but actually we have to believe that we can do whatever we want to do in this role, no matter how difficult it might seem. So partially now, I think for me, it's more, it's not that nurses don't do PhDs. I think in some instances, nurses don't know how to do a PhD or don't think they'd be able to. And that's probably the next obstacle, because we've got the funders now saying, you know, Research for Patient Benefit Award for nurses only, nurses and midwives. We've got the recent School for Primary Care Research, a non-medical bid for nurses and AHPs. The opportunities are there. The clinical fellowships are there. The clinical doctoral fellowships are there. So I think we've got, we now know nurses do PhDs. We've got to support them to recognize how to do them and give them the confidence, haven't we, to put themselves forward for them.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth when you said confidence. I think that is an issue. But it's an interesting thing, though, isn't it? Because I'm sure there are many nurses as well that did do really well at school academically as well. But there's also this thing about nurses perhaps feeling like they're not smart enough to do a PhD or go into academia or clinical academia. And actually, you and I both know it takes a lot more than that. There's a lot of dedication, perseverance. And actually, Gwen said herself, didn't she? You know, she went to an interview and didn't know what epidemiology was, went and looked it up, and look at her now, she's an epidemiologist. You know, and that's the way it goes, I think, doesn't it? When you do a PhD or when you're learning, you do have to find out a lot on your own, even though there's some training involved as well. And that's the same for anybody, you know, regardless of your background. You've got to develop those skills, haven't you? But there is something about having that initial confidence. And self-belief, and maybe that kind of goes throughout the profession. I think maybe once more nurses and other allied health professionals see themselves in these roles, then they will start to have the confidence to think, actually, I can do that too, because look at what they have done. And that's the whole purpose, isn't it, of sharing these stories so people can actually see you. Actually, you know, you can start off knowing very little about research. And it takes a long time, doesn't it, you know, to become an expert. And you have to work hard, but there's that initial desire to do that. But it's funny as well, listening to Gwen's story also reminded me of something that when I went to the States last year, as part of my training for my PhD, I met a neuroscientist called Professor Jonathan Jackson at Harvard Medical School and UMass General. And he said, the funny thing is about research is that, and this is a different concept to luck, but you may need both. It's that of faith, and whether you're a researcher or doing your research, the waters can be, you know, really challenging. They can be a bit choppy at times. So you have to have this faith, or maybe it's just that belief that you can navigate it. And maybe it's that confidence as well, you know, that you have to develop along the way, which often comes from the support of, you know, good supervisors, colleagues, people that you can speak to and get that support. And maybe because we haven't got this, we've never really had access to all of those individuals because there's a limited number of nurses and midwives that are academics or clinical academics. There's not so many people to turn to, are there? It's not been part of our profession, has it? Particularly historically, is becoming that way now. But you know, that bit of faith as well certainly helps. And I'm sure everybody has a story to tell in that, you know, it's there are challenges always along the way, but you need that bit of faith. to get through it.
Absolutely. I think that probably wraps us up for this episode. So thanks for listening again. Always try to listen to the end, get to the end of the episode for us, and that will count as a listen. And I hope that the sort of summary is a part of the podcast or the episode that you enjoy. And just a reminder that, like I've said earlier to Eleanor, we will put some links in for the people that we interview of their papers, or in this instance, Gwen, perhaps the YouTube clip to the inaugural lecture. So bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.